Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to answer your listener questions. We're so glad you're here. And of course, guess what kind of questions are rolling in today? That's right, Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars questions coming in. So we're going to answer those. Plus, we've got some Epcot questions. We're going to talk about the resorts. Lots going on today, so stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I'm glancing down to my iPhone XS Max, I can see that we're down to a mere 48 days to go. So we head down for the Summit Cheerleading Championships at ESPN Wide World of Sports. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a very different trip for me, but I get excited every time I get to go to Walt Disney World, and I get to know how many days I have to go each and every time I post to social media, get a phone call, or send a text message. You can do the same as well. Right now, I'm looking at a great picture of Spaceship Earth at night. It's awesome. You need this app right now on your Apple device. So check them out today. They're over at VirtualMickey.com. A sincere thank you to everybody who continues to support the show the easiest way possible. You're going to shop on Amazon anyway. Please click through our link, bookmark it on all your sites. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Every time you use that link, we get a little commission from Amazon. You're going to get all your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. Simple way to support the show. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1458 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And one of the great and busy agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks to everybody who is joining us here on Facebook Live. We appreciate you hopping in on a Tuesday evening instead of a Monday night. We had to delay the podcast because two of the three were traveling back from Walt Disney World, which we'll hear about that stuff on Friday. But of course, it's time for your listener questions, as we do every Wednesday. So joining me today to knock out these questions, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, what is going on?
Oh, you know, Disney just decided to announce a whole bunch of stuff.
Have mercy. As they say on Full House, and for those people that are not in jail right now, have mercy. Yes. And that's what I said. I'm like, come on, could Cruise Line not talk to the people at Star Wars? I mean, this is like a busy week. Like, we're going to have a couple down weeks coming up here. Spread it out. But no, yeah. They don't care. They just like to drop everything on us at once.
Right, exactly. This is exactly what happens.
But it was fun. You know what? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's what I always have to tell myself, right? That's it.
That is true. Yes.
All right, also joining us, we have the coder of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, was the Force with you last week?
It was. It definitely was. Did you see that macked out photo we had on the Magic for Less Travels Facebook page? It said, book with us. We use the Force.
Yes, that was pretty sweet. I didn't know Darth Vader was an affiliate agent with the Magic for Less. Like, that must
well,
have
we
been
tried to keep that on the DL.
It must have been a tough negotiation because at any time you could have been force choked.
Well, and the other thing is, too, that some people really like him and some people don't. So, like, we don't let him go out there and say it all the time because we knew we'd be alienating, like, half the people, right? So we consider it like, you know, the talk about politics. We just hope that our agents don't engage in it, right? We're like, no, let's not talk about that and the fact that Darth works with us. He's in a position, though, where he's not really out there, like, consumer-facing. He's sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah,
it's the best way to be. You know, I think that you know, marketing research has shown that we're pretty strong with the resistance forces. Now we have to go after the Empire. You know, so I mean,
well, we have somebody else in the back. That's too. True. We have somebody else.
Stormtroopers have to take vacations too. You know,
we have to restore balance. We're working on a balanced travel agency.
So. That's right. All right, let's hit these questions. First question says, help last minute, hashtag freaking magical surprise. Hey, BOGP crew. And again, if you use freaking magical in the title, you get bumped to the top most of the time. That's how it works. And says, can you please not say my name if this makes the show? Because I want to keep a short trip, this short trip, a surprise for somebody. Ooh. So, okay, enough said, no names. I started listening to the show last year when I began my obsession with all things Disney. I love how your show gives my daughter and I something to listen to and a way to connect to one of our favorite places in between visits. Thanks for all your hard work. We appreciate it. My question has to do with the last minute trip to Walt Disney World the first week of April. We're going to spend some time in St. Augustine and Disney. I know it's a super busy time, but I can deal with whatever. And my 7-year-old is so easygoing and knows a crowded day at Magic Kingdom is way better than no day there at all. My husband isn't quite on the Disney train like my daughter and I, so I like to make the most of the magic for the few days we are squeezing in. We'll be there for 2.5 days, and one of those days there is an after-hours event at the Magic Kingdom. Do you think it's worth it to attend that event instead of a full day at the Magic Kingdom, and then on Friday hit Hollywood Studios and Epcot? We are ambitious and have done all 4 parks in one day before. I was thinking we could just chill and hang out at the pool before the Magic Kingdom event. I'm not sure if this affects your advice, but my daughter may be getting an annual pass while we're there because we're lucky enough to have grandparents that live in Orlando. Thanks for the advice. Love the show and have a hashtag freaking magical day. All right, mystery listener. And I better delete this before I accidentally say the name because I'm good at putting my foot in my mouth like
no,
that.
Yeah.
I'm so good at that, so that will be gone forever. All right, so Pam, what are your thoughts on... sacrificing the day to have an extra after hours event at night. How do you weigh that on the scales of justice there?
So if I'm a fairly frequent visitor or frequent enough that I don't feel compelled to every trip, check off a bunch of boxes, right? But that often enough, that I know the Magic Kingdom, I'm not whatever, I'm actually going to do the after hours event. Because I feel like you sort of get more bang for your buck in that short period of time. I've been to the Magic Kingdom. I don't have to see every little bit, but I'm going to be able to get a lot of attractions done in a short period of time. Plus, it's almost like a party atmosphere during that time. I think it's a fun time to visit. You get to go at my favorite time to visit the Magic Kingdom, which is at night. And you get to get in, before the park is closed too. So you still get some, time in the park. You can see the fireworks really sort of at the start of your visiting time in the Magic Kingdom. So I think I would go ahead and lean towards that.
And I'll say that, again, I haven't done after hours yet, but here's the thing. I have a lot of guests to do it, and I get a lot of questions before the trips, asking for advice from me. Should I do this? The same situation. Should I not go during the day, maybe save a day off my ticket, or, I have a limited amount of time. Should I just do after hours? Here's the funny thing, and Scott did this too when we were down for Princess. Every person that goes to an after hours event, I'm talking 100% of the people I've talked to. Now, I don't have to talk to every person who's gone in and out of the gates, but the people in my circle, every person wants to run to me and say, dude, that was so awesome. I mean, now Scott tried to eat his weight in Mickey bars
right,
and popcorn
to
get
his
money back, but he said it was amazing. And every person I've talked to say the same thing. So Ricky, I would say do after hours, because the thing is, if you go a lot, this is like a special thing. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's a new experience.
Absolutely. And I've looked into ways to make after hours happen for myself and just different things. The timing hasn't been right, but everybody I've heard that's gone to it has raved about it, whether it's at, Magic Kingdom, which I think is where you get the best bang for your buck for it, or at Hollywood Studios, or, even in Animal Kingdom, although I have heard a little bit more, not negative, but some more criticism, I guess I should say, about the Animal Kingdom one, just because, really all that's there for people to ride is like Everest and the Pandora attractions, which, that's great and all, but I think people are running out of things to do there at that one. So at least the Hollywood Studios one and definitely the Magic Kingdom one, there's a lot of attractions for you to be able to do. So I say absolutely you should consider doing it. I think, being able to just walk right onto attractions and, literally the entire queue is the only time you're going to wait, basically. And all you can eat ice cream and popcorn is I'm in for that.
And soda, so. I think, too. Yeah. Soda can get you, though. But you got to be careful. All right. Let's get to the next question from the inbox. Is this a crazy plan? I like that. Here we go. Two friends of mine are planning a trip to the world at the end of October 2019. They have a room at the Contemporary Bay Lake Tower with a queen bed and a sleeper sofa. Already, this is starting to sound like college. I am seriously considering flying down on the morning of October 27th, attending the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, and crashing with them in their room for the night. The super crazy part of my plan is I'm thinking about attempting to go to Hollywood Studios and Galaxy's Edge the next day, October 28th, and flying out that night. Is this too much for one day? Is it worth it? I know Ricky is the queen of the quick trip and to get her advice. Thanks for everything, Sarah. I can say the name on this one. Good. I was like,
yeah,
worried.
You can say the name on this one.
I was like, oh, I just said it and we're live. Oh, great. No, so Sarah's good. She didn't say it to keep it quiet. All right. So, Ricky, this one's to you. What do you say? This is kind of nuts.
So she would be flying out the same day that she would attempt to go to Galaxy's Edge, is what she's saying, right?
Right.
Get the latest flight possible. And yes, I think you should absolutely do it. But then again, you're talking to me, the person who literally just drove down and spent maybe 36 to 48 hours in Walt Disney World and then drove back 7 hours. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I would absolutely say yes anyway. Just know, you know, lines are going to be long. You know, the wait times to get in, well, hopefully the wait times to get into Galaxy's Edge in October won't be, you know, they'll be subsided a little bit there. You won't have to wait in as much, you know, to get into the land. You know, the wait times for the attraction are going to be long. Just know that. I would definitely expect, you know, 4 to 5 hours. Although the nice part is there is no fast pass for the Millennium Falcon attraction as of right now. They are not going to be running the ride with FastPass. So, you know, of course that can change in the future, but as of right now, they're not going to be doing it. The other attraction, the Rise of the Resistance attraction, won't be open. So you're really only going to be able to do Millennium Falcon, but you'll also be able to experience, hopefully, some of the shops, some of the, you know, food and stuff like that. So I think you'll have time to at least experience the land and see what it's like and hopefully get to ride the Millennium Falcon. And I say do it. Absolutely.
So do we have any word on, because we got a couple questions from Josh and from Vanessa in the live chat about these after hours events going through the summer, like say in June, July, August. I mean, I know that Disney kind of doesn't release this stuff very early. You know, I wish they did, because, you know, they teach us to plan 6 months out with our dining and so forth. And I mean, you're booking out sometimes 15, 16 months in advance. You know, this is going to have an impact on your itinerary. But Ricky, what's your feelings on that? Because you kind of
never,
watch
this. Yeah, never fear. Disney is, now that these after hours events are starting to sell out, which we've seen.
Yeah, that's the number one. Yeah, let's do them 7 nights a week. No,
exactly. So now that the events are starting to sell out and the popularity is clearly gaining, because I think this is probably the most asked question we have is, when are they going to release the dates? So they're definitely going to be continuing them. The thing about the after hours events is they're kind of like the dessert parties in that Disney doesn't announce the dates very far in advance. They really only announce them about 1 to 2 months in advance, which I understand is super frustrating. You know, I get it. Like you and everybody else, I wish they would announce them ahead of time, but I think that they do it just to kind of see, you know, what months or what days they need to have the event on and so on. So, you know, they are going to release them for the summer and beyond. Just know it may not be up until a month, 2 months, maybe 3 months before your vacation. Don't fear, they are going to release them. Again, like I said, they're selling out now. So Disney is going to continue to offer these events. They just don't do it 6 months in advance like they do everything else.
Last year, though, they did not have them during the summer, I believe.
I believe they
didn't have them until the very end of summer. They didn't have them during the bulk of summer. So they weren't available.
Thing, they may not have them during the summer, because usually they have them during the hours that the park closes early. So when the park closes at 8 or 9 o'clock, and in the summer, the park's open till 10, 9, 10, 11 or later. So you're right, Pam, they may not offer it in the summer hours, and that'll be something
just might not,
keep in mind. So, but they'll definitely offer it for the fall. Like for everybody who's trying to plan for the fall, they'll definitely offer it for then. So,
yeah, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You know, its popularity is great, and Disney obviously wants that revenue source, but they have to balance that with the guest expectations of being booted out of the park early because, or, you know, just I think it's a bad look if you're trying to do this all the time, these add-ons. You know, I think it's okay like a couple nights a week.
Right.
But I don't know. It's kind of a...
And right now they are doing it only a couple nights a week.
I know, and I think that's good. I think that's a good balance. But I think if they try to do it all the time, all over the place.
And they may not offer it at the Magic Kingdom, but they may offer it, continue to offer it at, say, Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, because those parks do tend to still close a little bit earlier. So the Magic Kingdom tends to have hours until 10, 11 o'clock in the summer. But the other two parks, they do tend to close about 8, 9 o'clock even in the summer. Maybe 9:30, I think, sometimes 10, but, you know, it really depends on the day. So I think that maybe if we see it, we'll see it for those other two parks and maybe not the Magic Kingdom.
Good point. And I'm glad again, they've opened it. Yeah, they've opened up to other parks, which helps because it gives them options. So that's right. Good. All right. So Michelle's got a question here in the live chat, and we have done this. I'm going to let Pam speak to this one. She says, has anybody experienced the Illuminations dining package at Rose and Crown? We have it booked to celebrate our 25th anniversary on May 2nd. So, Pam, we got to do this when we were down for the Princess Half Marathon weekend. I really enjoyed it. So give your quick review for Michelle.
I did too. I thought it was great. First of all, one of the things I liked about it is that we knew that we were going to have a great viewing location for Illuminations. And we did. They also really did a great job with this dinner, this sort of dinner package, because it's unlike other dinner packages in that it includes a variety of items from which you can choose and some Rose and Crown favorites, including the Scotch egg and the cheese plate and fish and chips and some other entrees like that. And then you got a selection of desserts. So we love that. It also included alcoholic beverages, which it included many of the Rose and Crown mixed drinks and beers. They have so many beers available there. So consider that too. The menu is actually up online, so you can see the ones that they actually have. So make sure you check that out too. And by the way, those alcoholic drinks are unlimited. So, I mean, I don't think that they would, you know, let someone stumble out of there, you know, having imbibed too much, but they were included. So we love that. The other great thing that they did is on the night that we were going to see it, they usually sit you in the lower level and we got to sit up top because there was going to be a storm. So they took that into effect too.
And it was kind of ironic because we had a table of about 12 of us, I believe. And you have these options to get, you know, they give you, pick one appetizer, pick one entree, pick one. I think the dessert was just a sampler. It was really good, though. I don't even know what it was. It was three things. It looked beautiful with like Spaceship Earth on one, some UK flags. But right, all of us at the table, every person got fish and chips. That was so good, too.
I know. It was really funny. There were some other things that looked really good.
No, fish and chips.
But, you know, they're so famous for that. But anyways, when the when it came time for fireworks, they said to us, if you want to go ahead down onto the lower level, you can to get, you know, to get a better view of that. But we had, I mean, I think it was really, it was worth it. It is pricey, absolutely. But to be able to get that guaranteed view, I think, of Illuminations, especially before it goes away, I just thought it was really smart on their part. And we really enjoyed it. So.
And I got some great pictures too during that, so it's a good spot. And again, with it going away, you know, it's kind of a now or never kind of thing. So,
right,
do it. Yeah. All right. The next question from the inbox says, "It's a trap." Uh-oh. Generational Walt Disney World August 2019 vacation. What could this be about? I don't know.
Nope.
it's funny. It's funny how the inbox just blew up this week.
I bet it did. Yeah.
Okay. Greetings, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'd planned an August 21 through August 30th quiet off-season Walt Disney World vacation for my family of four, myself, my beautiful wife, and my boys that are 10 and 13, and my parents who are treating my niece, who's six, to her first trip to the world. We're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, coming in from Seattle. I've been listening for years, and you greatly helped me plan a wonderful 2017 hurricane vacation. Well, now, hey, we didn't cause the hurricane. We might have helped you plan a great vacation, but don't throw that hurricane on us, man. We didn't expect that.
Not causes of hurricanes,
no.
I promise.
I mean, you know, other than we sometimes bring bad weather, but that's not always.
That's the point, yes.
All right, so he says, now I'm hoping you can help me navigate an accidental, epic Star Wars opening. Upon hearing the news that Star Wars Land was opening during our trip, I quickly reserved dining at 50's Primetime Cafe lunch for all of us on opening day. Calling guest services later, we were told that it would be tough even getting into the park, but those guests with dining reservations would be given priority access to the park. We were also informed that Disney decided not to issue fast passes for Galaxy's Edge, that the resorts had nearly been booked over this time period, and reservations for dining at Hollywood Studios were likely completely booked. The cast member also told us that the planned fanfare for the opening was going to be amazing, a once-in-a-lifetime event. Our quiet vacation will likely be far more magical with a lot more friends than we expected. Could you please advise us on how to handle Hollywood Studios on opening day? How do we get in? Can we leverage our dining reservations in the morning? I'm planning to arrive 2 hours before the park opens to get priority entry. What should we take advantage of while we're there? Help. Thanks for your uplifting entertainment and insight. And that is from Craig out in Seattle. So, Pam, you've been to, you know, media events, but also kind of general public openings of attractions, lands, stuff like that at Walt Disney World. Of course, this will be unprecedented. This is going to be the biggest we've ever seen in Florida. I mean, I think this is going to, you know, be bigger than 71 when the Magic Kingdom opened, to be honest, just because of how the world is now. What would you offer anybody in this kind of situation? Because he's right. I mean, I think there's a lot of folks that are accidentally in the right time to be there. So what do you say, Pam?
So first of all, I'm going to let everyone in on a big secret. Ready?
Yep.
If you're listening or reading or hearing anything that says people know what's going to happen these days, they're wrong.
Right.
Correct.
Because it's not out there yet. And we really don't have a good sense of it. Are they going to have previews? Are they going to have something that you can pay so you can get in earlier to see? We don't know. And even as far as the fanfare, it was nice for the cast member to get you excited about that. But I don't think typically when a land opens, that's not something that's open to the general public. And I've been there for the Fantasyland one, the Toy Story one, all of those were things that were sort of a closed event. So I'm just, not that it's not going to be spectacular. So let's put all of that aside. So what you're going to want to do is to keep watching and get a sense of that, you know, see how things will be. I, you know, understand you're wanting to make a dining reservation to try to help you get in, and that may help you get into the park, but not necessarily help you get into any line for Galaxy's Edge at this point. And it was sort of like Toy Story too. There was a line to get into actually Toy Story. I don't know how much of the park was actually impacted by that, how much of the rest of the park. And that's something that, you know, we've had a lot of guests who were really kind of worried about this. Like, they already had their vacation plan, and then they're like, what's it going to be like now that Galaxy's Edge is opening up? And I'll say to you, there will certainly be a number of people that travel there for the opening specifically, but I think that will it impact most people's vacations in a negative way? I don't think so. If you wanted to completely avoid Galaxy's Edge, you absolutely could. Avoid the land, you know, or whatever. I don't know that it's going to increase the attendance at the other parks that much during that time. We haven't seen that with anything else. Now, of course, Star Wars is its own little thing, you know. There are so many people that love Star Wars, and there are so many people that love Disney, and these two communities are coming together. So we're going to see some unprecedented things. But can I think that you can absolutely go there during this time and have a great time? I absolutely do. Would I change my vacation? I would not. If my vacation was planned for that weekend, would I be changing it? No, I wouldn't. If I wanted to avoid Star Wars, I would. If I wanted to be part of the crazy, fun, whatever that's going to take place during that time, I'd get into it and I'd just be patient. So
that's exactly my advice. Because, you know, guests are asking me over at the Magic for Less just what I think. And of course, like you said, Pam, nobody knows. This is unprecedented.
Right.
You know, and if you, here's another thing to remember, that if you're getting information from cast members, whether they're dining or reservations, cast members on the ground down at Walt Disney World. Now, we love them. Don't worry, because I mean, some of my best friends are cast members, and you know, I talk to these people and they're working hard each and every day. You know, they help me do my job and they help you have a great vacation. You know, I think that sometimes they and we could get a little ambitious because we see patterns, and because we've seen patterns over the past maybe decade with, like you said, New Fantasyland, Toy Story Land, that we project that this will happen with Star Wars Land when Disney could totally pivot just because it's going to be such a different and larger scale opening. So I think that even when you get information from a Disney cast member, you know, not that it's incorrect, but just hedge your bets that that might not be the final word when August gets here. Is that good advice, Pam? Because that's what I always do, because I know everybody's place is in the, everybody's heart's in the right place. And I mean, I'm given the best information I can give, but I mean, I'm just given the best information that I know. And I'm not always 100% correct because Disney can change on me.
We all get like over enthusiastic, right? We hear something from someone who we think is reliable, or there's a rumor going around and we want to share that with people in order to give them the best information. And then later we find out that was absolutely not true. So I think we're all just sort of in a holding pattern right now. You can sort of hedge your bets and do things that you think might be, you know, help you in that space. But I think that there's just going to be so much to see and do and take in. And oh, it's going to be incredible. And for those who want to avoid it, I think you'll be able to. And for those who want to be immersed into it, we know that there'll be lots of opportunity for you too. So,
yeah, the way I see it is, if you're not into Star Wars and you don't want to have to fight, say you're there on August 29th when it opens, you know, those people are going to get pulled from somewhere. I mean, I would imagine it's going to be a light day at the Animal Kingdom, or, you know, right. Like, you know, it's a great day to go to the Magic Kingdom. You know, I just, right. You know, I mean, you got to say, like, if X is overwhelmed, then Y is probably not going to be overwhelmed. And so use that to your advantage. I don't, Ricky, final thoughts on this, and we'll get to the next question, because we're going to be talking about this for the next few months.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I mean, we'll be literally talking about this for the next few months. You know, there's really, like you said, there's no way to know how it's going to be. We know how it's been for the past couple of openings for lands. I mean, I've been there both for Toy Story Land's opening day as well as Pandora's opening day. Yes, there have been lines to get into the actual land. There haven't been lines to get into the park, at least not, you know, like that where you had to wait outside to get into the park. So you're going to be able to get into the park just fine. More than likely that day, you know, if you want to go to the land, you may have a long wait to wait in line. But you know, that's fine. But they may change it up too. They are, you know, at Disneyland, they are actually having, reserved times for you to be able to go into the land. Depending on how well that does. Now, I know right now they said they're not doing that at Walt Disney World, but again, things can change. Disney may decide, okay, that went really well at Disneyland, we may decide to roll this out at Walt Disney World. It just depends on kind of what they, you know, I think that they're definitely feeling out what they do at Disneyland and seeing and tweaking how that goes, and then moving forward with Walt Disney World's opening for, you know, Galaxy's Edge. And, you know, a lot of people are freaking out, and, you know, I've seen comments here, and it's going to be okay, I promise. It's going to be just fine, and you'll still have a magical vacation. And I know some people, I literally have seen people complaining because, oh no, Galaxy's Edge is opening, and I wanted a quiet vacation.
Yes.
Yeah. You could still have that. Maybe don't go to, you know, Hollywood Studios this trip. I just was down there for, you know, my vacation, and I chose not to go to Hollywood Studios, not because of anything like that, but, you know, just how it worked out. And all the other parks were just fine. So, you know, it you'll still have a great vacation, I promise. So don't freak out. It will all be fine. And yes, we will, I'm sure, discuss all these things even more as we move forward. So,
I would say that if you want to go see Beauty and the Beast live on stage at the studios, yeah, August 29th definitely. Is your day, man. I mean, go. You know, all the Jedi will be at the other end of the park.
Oh, so. And I did see someone ask a question, and this is something that I wanted to kind of answer. Somebody wanted to know if crowds would be light because it's only going to be Millennium Falcon that's open and not the Rise of the Resistance attraction. And no, I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I think that, you know, because the land is opening itself and, you know, people are going to want to see the land, whether it's one attraction open or two attractions open. So no, I don't think that it will be a light crowd or a lighter crowd, I guess, just because one attraction is opening. I think the size of the crowd will be the same, whether it was one attraction or both.
And Dennis is here in the chat. I love Dennis. He does an amazing Star Wars podcast. So if you are a fan of Disney and Star Wars, but you want to get really geeky on the Star Wars stuff, Dennis is your man. He says, I wish I could just sneak in to Galaxy's Edge and try the blue milk. I'm with you, buddy. Me and you. I'll ride shotgun with you. Somebody post bail, and we'll see. You know, grown men are going to weep at the sight of the Millennium Falcon, from what I've heard. This grown man may weep.
Even the previews that people have done, you know, they've I read that some grown men did weep, and that was, you know, without the land being finished completely and, you know, still people wearing hard hats and construction going on. So.
Yes. And I mean, because I had the Millennium Falcon toy when I was a kid, and I played with that thing forever. I mean, it was banged up just like the Falcon. So it's, Dennis, we're going to have to work something out. All right, next, let's do something besides Star Wars for just a second. This next one says Epcot lunch ideas. Thank you, Sherry, for another question that's outside. I love Star Wars. We can't do this for 6 months. All right. Hello, BOGB. Sherry from Dallas here, a long way from Pam. I'm headed to Walt Disney World the first weekend of April with my 7-year-old. We're trying to pack all 4 parks into 2.5 days. I did this in December with my oldest son, but we had an Animal Kingdom VIP tour, Hollywood Studios After Hours, and the Very Merry Christmas Party to help us get lots done in a shorter amount of time. I like that. When time's short, when you can do these special things, you can get a ton done. With my little guy, we only have the Hollywood Studios After Hours booked. It'll be interesting to see how much we can pack in without those other 2 experiences to help us out. My question is, what is a table service restaurant in World Showcase that we can get into and out of quickly? I have the answer. I would rather do quick service for the sake of time, but with it being Flower and Garden and a Saturday that we'll be there, I think we need a reservation somewhere so we're guaranteed a chair and some air conditioning. There you go. That's the Pam coming out right there. Tell me.
There it is.
I swear that was Pam talking to me right there in that sentence. But we don't have time for a long and leisurely lunch. Thanks so much for all your tips and tricks. I love listening to y'all between trips, but I get so excited listening as my trips are getting closer and closer together. And I've been researching cruises too. Cheers, Sherry. All right, Sherry, if you're going summer 2020, now's the time to book. We're nailed. Man, I'm telling you, some great sailings, and we're doing that. All right, so we're all going to give one restaurant a quick in and out, good meal, air conditioning. I say Beer Garden because that's a buffet. Boom, you're in, you're out. Good food. I don't know if the 7-year-old like it, but it's good food. Pam, what about you?
I was going to say Garden Grill for the same reason. It is pre-plated, so no, you don't have to worry about it. And boom, you're in, you're out. Plus, you get to see characters.
True that. Ricky, what about you?
So I'm going to say, I'm just going to throw this out there. I know she's worried about the fact that it is Flower and Garden, and she's worried that she wouldn't be able to get into a table or a counter service restaurant with it being Flower and Garden. You know what? Sometimes that's the best time to go to a counter service restaurant because it's Flower and Garden. And that's because everybody's eating at the Flower and Garden booths. So, and most people are standing at tables. And they have other areas for people to eat. So if you really wanted to get in and out quickly, I would pick a counter service restaurant, and just go that route because I think that, that you're going to be just fine. So that's kind of my suggestion because we were just there and the counter service restaurants were, I mean, we were there opening weekend of Flower and Garden and all of them were relatively fine.
Yeah. You make a good point because a lot of people do kind of want to sample and snack, as Jeff's saying in the chat. So, all righty. And Katie says she's checking out of a resort tomorrow morning. Is it too early to start planning the next trip? Nope.
No.
It's never, never. All right. Next question's from Mackenzie. It says first time cruise. Hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm cruising with Disney for the first time on March 25th on the Disney Dream, coming up quickly. We're on a 4-night, or at Walt Disney World for 4 nights before the cruise. I have a few questions for the expert cruisers. I know each of you are. My first questions deal with paying for onboard purchases. I'm traveling with my mom, and we're both staying in one room. Is there a way to divide our charging privileges so that at the end of the trip, we have our own charges to pay for instead of one big bill? Second, I have a few methods of payment, including a Visa gift card, Disney gift card, cash, and then some credit card if needed. Do I put those forms of payment down at the beginning of the trip or the last night of the cruise? All right, so Pam, talk to her about that. So let's tackle the first part, the simple part. She's got 2 people. They want to kind of divide their charges. But what you do during online check-in, though, so people know, is that you put a card per stateroom on your account. That's how it initially starts. So, Pam, what about all these different variables she's got with her mom and her and then all the different kinds? It sounds like she's going to be down to guest services on deck 3 midship the night before the cruise ends.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, Disney Cruise Line is really good about separating charge according to who made it. In fact, when you pull up your charges, you can pull them up on the television or go down to guest services and get a printout of them. Each charge is identified by who actually charged that, the card of the person that was used to charge that. So that part's going to be simple. During your online check-in, you're absolutely going to want to put a credit card down because that's the easiest, it's the quickest, it makes things simple. When you get on the ship, if you have a Disney gift card and a large one at that, or a Disney rewards card and a large one at that, you could stop by guest services and ask to put that on your shipboard account. The other thing that you can do is at different points during the cruise, you can go down and pay whatever you want on those specific charges. And I know a lot of people like to do that too. So Disney Cruise Line is pretty flexible with things like that. And you'll be able to make all of those charges. You know, you can pay for them with all those various types of, credit charges, debit cards, whatever you want to do. So
I will mention though, just because it happened to me, if it is one of those those Visa gift cards, make sure before you go on the cruise that you register it, because I have had some and I needed to register the card ahead of time and I didn't, and so I could not use those on the cruise. That was kind of a bummer, because I had a decent amount gift card to use on the cruise. So just make sure you do that ahead of time if you'd like to use one of those Visa gift cards that they sell in the stores.
And a quick plug, book with the Magic for Less. You'll have money sitting in your account when you arrive. Boom, it's magic.
Yes.
It's sweet.
It is magical. I love it.
Hey, man, you're booking the same price with that cruise through, straight through Disney Cruise Line, but you're getting free money in your account. That's the best kind. You don't even have to drop off a card. With coming from Walt Disney World Transportation, what is the time that people usually get to the cruise to board as we don't pick an arrival time? So I'd say you're on between 12 and 2, breezing on. Usually between 1 and 2, probably. But no problem. They get you right in. Third, on the day we get back to Port Canaveral, we have Disney transportation back to the airport, but our flight does not leave until 6:30. Do you guys have any restaurants that you enjoy near or at the airport? So I like Chick-fil-A. I always get Chick-fil-A at the airport at Orlando International. But they do have pretty nice restaurants. I mean, they have a food court that has some pretty neat stuff. I mean, it's your typical, like, mall food. They have that, they have a macaroni grill to go. They have, look at this, now that I fly, I know all the restaurants.
I know, look at you.
They have, what's that place that Todd's, Chef Todd almost burned down? Cask and Ladder or something like that?
You fly out of it's Cask and Larder. Yeah. And Cask and Larder is actually really good. I've eaten there before as well. So, and you can do one of the things where you sit at the bar, but you're going to have plenty of time, so you can grab a table there. It's really good, but it's in a specific terminal. So
it's in my terminal. It's in the Southwest terminal, because I always see it.
Yeah, it's in the Southwest terminal. So, I mean, you'll be there long enough. If you want to explore the different terminals, you have plenty of time.
So there you are. She says, last question. We are taking the yacht group port excursion at Nassau. Do we tip them at the end of the event as well, or is that included in the fee we pay through Disney? Pam, I'd say you probably tip on your own on that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, you typically do. Typically, tips are not included in the excursions that you're going to do with Disney Cruise Line. It will say in the description if it does happen to be included, but most of the time they are not, so...
All right. And she says, P.S. Pam, we're trying out the Baseline Tap House based on your recommendation this trip and can't wait to try it for the first time. Do you get to keep the little cards that come with the beer flights? Thank you so much. You guys make our trips more magical. Mackenzie's in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. So, I mean, I guess you could keep them either way, but is it legal? Let's say. Is she gonna...
Mackenzie, yes, absolutely. You get to keep the little cards that come with it. You know, they encourage that. You might find your new favorite beer there and you'll want to know what it is. So anyways, yeah, you absolutely can. And I was there, of course.
Yes, you were.
I think I might have gone into Hollywood Studios just to go to Baseline Tap.
You probably did. Yeah.
So anyways, I just like hanging out there. And just keep in mind, there's not a ton of food there. The pretzel with cheese, there's a charcuterie plate, definitely worth getting. There's mixed nuts, and then there's like a little a steak thing and a puff pastry. So
I did not enjoy that as much. The charcuterie board and the pretzel are where it's at, man. I'm telling
yeah,
you.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. So good. So anyways, yeah, fun.
All right.
No, I'm jealous. I want to be back.
I know, right?
That's right. All right, last question of the day. I can't find it. We had so many comments tonight in the Facebook live chat, which thank you guys for being a part of the show. I love this, and I'm sorry if we didn't get to your question in the live chat. But somebody earlier was asking about great restaurants, dining suggestions for the younger set, like 9 and under, like character meals. We got suggestions like Tusker House, Garden Grill, Chef Mickey's. I want to just throw in just to help out with that one. I like the breakfast at Ohana with Stitch and Lilo and Mickey and Pluto. It's a family style. It's a great way to go over to the Polynesian. It's a great way to start your day because you can hop right there on the monorail, go to the Magic Kingdom. Good stuff there. So Ricky suggests another good meal for the younger set.
Did they say Garden Grill?
I think so. I mean, the chat was kind of all talking back and forth.
Yeah,
so
Garden Grill, definitely. I think that because it's a smaller restaurant, I feel like you get more character rotation. So you see the characters more. I usually get to see them at least two times, sometimes three. So that part's really good. And the food is so, so yummy. So there's that. And then I actually, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on Friday, but I went to Crystal Palace for the first time ever. And I had breakfast there. And I thought that was really good. And the characters were really good there, too. Had a lot of good character interaction. So those are my suggestions.
All right, Pam, what about you? Close us out. Suggestions for dining for the younger set.
So you have to put Chef Mickey's in there because that's where you get to meet the mouse. Yeah. And it's just, you know, a staple of so many kids' vacations. I also think if you have a child who wants to see some characters in particular, I think there's some specialty meals you're going to want to look at, like the princess meals, if you're going to want to do that. The villain dinner at 1900 Park Fair, which is awesome. Make sure that you're thinking about those just to see those particular characters. And that's something that you'll want to keep in mind, too.
All righty. That's going to do it for today's listener question show. Thank you so much, everybody who joined us live here on Facebook and gave your feedback. We appreciate that so much for the live questions as well. Thanks for everybody who emailed those to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Keep those coming because we try to get a nice balance in the live questions and the inbox questions. And it's just fun to have a wide variety of topics to talk about every Wednesday. So thank you so much for that. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app everybody should have on their Apple devices. Ricky, besides May 31st and August 29th, is there anything else happening?
Well, for those who missed it, there was a ticket price increase.
I know.
Today.
Hello.
Yeah. So there's that. So there's actually a brand new experience for the little ones in Captain Hook's Pirate Crew. This is taking place at Disney's Beach Club, and it's going to be offered from 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., and it will have Captain Hook looking for a band of new adventurers, and you are going to be the said adventurers. You'll get to comb through the resort, set sail in a pontoon boat across Crescent Lake, and escape in an escape room type experience. And then once the treasure is unearthed, there will be a pirate feast that includes cannon meatballs with marinara sauce and macaroni and gold sauce.
Dude, I'm so in for that. I know it's only for kids, but man, that sounds like my jam.
Yeah, exactly. So the Captain Hook Pirate Crew is priced at $55 plus tax per child, and it's available for ages 4 to 12. So, Mike, I'm sorry you're too old for this. It begins on April 28th, and to book it, you can call 407-824-KIDS. And with this announcement, though, it has been announced that the Pixar Play Zone at the Disney's Contemporary Resort is closing. So that did not last long. So that's kind of a surprise to me, actually. I thought for sure that would be a little more popular, but I guess not.
Yeah, didn't have much buzz anymore. Seriously.
No.
Get it?
No.
Pixar Play Zone?
Yeah, get it? Get it? Yeah. dumb. Okay.
I'm here all day. Anyway, actually, I'm not. We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
So don't forget to give us a follow. Oh, that's Theme Park News Disney Edition. Get it over at virtualmickey.com. Sad dad jokes out, not there. Anyway, follow us on social media if you dare at BRGuestPod and at BRGuestMike on Facebook on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook is facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. I know we got to fit in this thing. So let's get back together on Friday, talk a little Flower and Garden Festival 2019. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.